We're going to learn Daf Tes Vav in Masechtas Nedarim. We're actually going to start from the second line from the top, but let's back up for a moment just to see what had happened previously in the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us a very simple halacha that we're somewhat familiar with already on the bottom of your Daled Amud Beis. The Mishnah said that if I make an eder that I don't want to sleep and I'm not going to talk, I'm not going to walk, so the halacha is that you can be over the Yisr Bal Yachal, meaning that if you are over, if after you say those words and then you were to go to sleep, there would be an Yisr of Bal Yachal Devorik. Similarly, if a guy says to his wife, this is just to complete the Mishnah itself, we'll see this as a separate topic at the end, the guy says to his wife, Koinim Sha'ani Misham Shecha, that I don't want to have any Kashmish with you. Also, there's an Isser Bal Yachal that neder is Chal, and it's possible for there to be an Isser of Bal Yachal Devari. Okay, now, the Gemara on the bottom of Yudal Ravais raises the following question. So, the Mishnah is a very simple case. I say I'm not going to go to sleep and I can't go to sleep. But what if I make that sleeping conditional? Meaning, there's two variations to this. But let's start with the first case, which is the issue over here that we're going to discuss. If a person says, I'm not allowed to sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. So tomorrow is the conditional day. Tomorrow is the conditional day. And if I trigger the condition tomorrow, then today, of course it's retroactively, but today would be the day that it would be usher to sleep. So on that, we have a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman, whether or not it's mutter or usher to sleep today. Remember, today would be the Isser day, depending on what I do tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. So do I usher today because of what might potentially happen tomorrow? Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, I can't go to sleep today because it is possible that I might end up sleeping tomorrow. And Rav Nachman on the other hand says, what? There's nothing usher yet today, so it's okay for me to sleep, and then I'll deal with tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll make sure I don't sleep so that I don't trigger the usher and it won't become usher. So Rav Nachman says it's fine for me to go to sleep. That would be fine. That would be a very simple machlekes, except for the fact that the bottom line of Yudal and Mabez, Rabbi Yehuda then goes ahead and says, Moide, Rabbi Yehuda admits that if the case were the opposite, meaning that I say today is the conditional day and tomorrow is the usher day, that I say, if I sleep today, then it's usher for me to sleep tomorrow. So tomorrow becomes the literal day that it's usher. There, Rabbi Yehuda admits that it's okay for me to go to sleep today. Because even though it's going to trigger potential isser tomorrow, but that's okay, that's fine, I'll be careful. I'll be careful tomorrow not to go to sleep. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference? What's the difference between the two? Why do we, in the first case, Rabbi Yehuda prohibits going to sleep on the first day because of what might happen tomorrow? And on the second case, Rabbi Yehuda allows you to go to sleep on the first day, even though what might happen tomorrow might be the issue. So the Gemara on the top of Tes Vav Amud Aleph, we might as well read that first line. The first line on Tes Vav Amud Aleph says, Ki loy mizdair b'tnai, avo b'isser mizdair. So the Gemara says there's a very big chiluk, and this is what we're going to focus on for most of the daf today. So he says, because when it comes to a condition, people are not as careful about it. Because it's not the Isser itself, it's only the condition. So if I sleep today, in the first case, where today is the Isser, if I end up sleeping today, now it's only usher if I also sleep tomorrow, which is the conditional day, but if the conditional day is not something that people focus on and pay attention to, and therefore the likelihood is that there's a greater chance that because I'm not careful, that I'm going to end up triggering the Isser, and then retroactively today became Isser. Whereas, if tomorrow is the literal Isser, that people pay attention to, people are very careful with the Isser itself, and therefore that is the chilik that the Gemara wants to make in Rabbi Yehuda Shita. That if tomorrow is the conditional day, it's a problem because people aren't careful, and it will trigger today's Isser, that's why I'm not allowed to sleep today. Whereas if tomorrow is the literal the Isser day, that I'll be careful about, and I'll make sure not to sleep. So I don't care if today I sleep and trigger the Isser, because the Isser will be tomorrow, and I'll be makbid tomorrow. That is the teretz that the Gemara gives on the top of the Omid. And now the Gemara is going to spend at least the next Omid, and part of Omid Beis as well, seeing whether or not that is consistent with all the other cases, that the other Mishnayos that we have. So, Now, the second line of Tesvav Amadav, the Gemara starts. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Koinim she'ani yoshon. That's our Mishnah, by the way. We're quoting our Mishnah now. Koinim she'ani yoshon. I make an edder that I'm not going to sleep. She'ani meharach, that I'm not going to walk. She'ani medaber, or there is an isser on me walking and an isser on me sleeping. She'ani medaber, an isser on me talking. Okay, so the Mishnah says that there is an isser bal yachal. So first the Gemara wants to know technically, hey chidami, what exactly did I say? What exactly is the case? If you're going to take the words of the Mishnah literally and say that I made it usher on me to sleep, mihave nidra, would it be a neder in the first place? Because we already learned this rule, but now we learned in a Mishnah in Shavuos, chomer b'Shavuos. The Isser of Shavuos has more chumras and more stringencies to it, attached to it, than a nether. In what respect? And specifically in this. Shavuos cholos al davar sheyesh by mamish, val davar she'ein by mamish. That is, you can make a shvua even if it has, even if it doesn't have anything tangible. She'ein by mamish. Obviously, if it yesh by mamish, I can make a shvua specifically on something. But even if it's not a davar sheyesh by mamish, ma she'ein kein b'nedarim, which is the point of the Mishnah. Whereas by a neder, you cannot, because a neder, remember, is always you're making an isra on a chefza. You're making an isra on an object. So, if there's no literal object, it's not tangible, so then I can't make the neder. And as the Gemara very clearly spells out, v'shina davar she'ein by mamishu. And sleeping is something that it's not in by mamish. So it's technically not something that I can make a neder on in the first place. So what is our Mishnah talking about? Where the Mishnah is talking about kainim shani yoshon, and the isser is going to be on sleeping. Sleeping is not a tangible object. Sleeping is not something that should technically be an isser of neder in the first place. The neder should never be chal. So there can't possibly be an isser bal yachal. So what exactly is the case of our Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, okay, that's not a problem. We can get around this the way we've seen before. Ela de omer koinem einai b'shino. What he's saying is, I don't mean the sleep itself is what is prohibited, but rather my eyes, which are now a tangible object, my eyes are not allowed to do the act of sleeping. But my eyes are the thing that would be usur or mutter. Okay, so we got around that problem. That's the case of our Mishnah, that you said my eyes as opposed to the sleeping. Fine, so we understand that's the case. Now, the Gemara now has a second technical problem. V'ide lo yoiv shi'ura mishav kinon le ada ovar isur bal yachal. Now, if we're talking about that he just says, I will never ever go to sleep again, there's no shear, there's no time frame, there's no sense of time over here at all. He just says, I will not do it ever. So then, this is something that the Isser, again, the Neder can't be Chal, because, as we'll see in a moment, if it's impossible to achieve, it's not considered a good Neder. V'omer Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says this in the context of Shvua, but it's the same idea over here. Shvua Shaloi Ishon, Shloisha Yamim. If a person says, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. Now, it's even only 3 days already, which is already impossible. Impossible for a person to stay up for 3 days in a row without any sleep whatsoever. So the halacha is, Malkin Oisoi V'yoshan Alter. We give him Malkus right away, and he can even go to sleep if he wants. He doesn't have to. But if he wants to, he can go to sleep right away because he's already been over the Isser, because it's the type of Isser that's impossible to fulfill. So if it's the type of Isser, again, so over here by Nether also, there can't be an Isser Bal Yachal if it's impossible for him to ever fulfill the Nether. The Nether cannot be Chal in the first place. If the Nether can't be Chal in the first place, where would the Isser of Bal Yachal come into play? So, what is the case of our Mishnah that the Isser of sleeping applies? The Omar, so the case has to be that he says, Koinem einai b'shino l'machar imeshen hayoim. So this is our case. So it turns out that the case of our Mishnah, which seems very simple, is in fact the case that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman are arguing about. That the case is that I say the Isser of sleeping will be tomorrow if I sleep today. Now, it's actually not the case. I take that back. This is not yet the case that Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda argue. This is the case that Rav Yehuda actually admits to, that everybody agrees to. So at first the Gemara wants to say, I jumped here for a second. At first the Gemara wants to say the case is that today is the conditional day, and tomorrow is the usher day. Okay, and that would be the case where the Isser, and that could happen because it's only 1 day or possibly 2 days that I'm not sleeping, so that's potentially possible. So that's the Isser of our Mishnah, it says it's an Isser Bal Yachal. The Gemara, to which the Gemara responds, Ha'amris, but we already said, Kol the Isura Mizdar. So we said that, one second, that's not a problem. Why would the Mishnah make a statement that there is an Isser Bal Yechal in that case, that the Isser Bal Yechal already applies, if tomorrow I'll make it, if today is the condition and tomorrow is the actual Isser, that we are, even Rabbi Yehuda admits that person is always makbid, and I'll make sure not to transgress, not to violate the Isser. So why would the Mishnah say it as a statement that, oh, just by making that neder itself, you're going to be over the Yisr Ba'ichal? Why am I going to be over the Yisr Ba'ichal? I'll be makbid and I won't go to sleep. So that's why it can't be that the case is that the condition is today and the Isr is tomorrow, because as we said, a person will be careful about that. Ela pshita, so it must be, in order for our Mishnah to be able to make a statement that there is an Yisr Ba'ichal, potentially the Yisr Ba'ichal, the case has to be, now, to the point that where they argued the Mishnah's case is koinem ene b'shina hayoyim, that today should be aser im hashen l'mocher, if I sleep tomorrow. Okay, so that has to be the case. The case is again that today is the iser day if I sleep tomorrow. Now there already Rabbi Yehuda says that a person won't be that careful tomorrow, and it could very well be that he's going to end up with a violation. And he's going to end up being over the Isser of Bal Yechal. But now the Gemara wants to know. Again, the problem is that the Mishnah said it as a statement that there's always the Isser of Bal Yechal. The problem is, V'iloi Nayim Hayoim, let me just finish one sentence here. V'iloi Nayim Hayoim, but the thing is, if realistically, the person did not go to sleep today, Ki Nayim L'machar, my Bal Yechal Devara Ika. If he achieved not going to sleep today on the conditional day, then the reality is that he won't. There is no potential for him to be over the Isser tomorrow. So once again, we're back to the, so to speak, the original kasha, which is, why does our Mishnah say that there's an absolute problem of an Isser of Bal Yechal? So again, this is a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should never have been allowed to go to sleep on today, even though today is not usher yet, because tomorrow is potentially the condition. You should never, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would never allow you to go to sleep, and if he doesn't allow you to go to sleep, then once again you're not going to be over on the Yisr of Bal Yechal. So, we say Almo Isa Denayim, must be that the people are going to go to sleep. This is why it's directly opposed to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. We see that people will go to sleep on the first day, which is the Isser day, in reliance on the fact that I will be makbid not to go to sleep tomorrow, which is the conditional day. Okay, so we see that people are makbid not to go to sleep on the conditional day, which is against Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is the whole philosophy that Rabbi Yehuda is trying to push. The whole Shita he's trying to push is that people aren't careful enough on the conditional day, and they will be over the Bal Yechal. So therefore Rabbi Yehuda would not allow you to go to sleep on the first day, which is the Isser day, so you'll never come to the Isser of Bal Yechal. So the fact that our Mishnah is saying that you will be over the Isser of Bal Yechal is saying that, or potentially over the Isser of Bal Yechal, is saying that we will allow you to go to sleep on the day that is Mamish Usser, in reliance on the fact that you're not going to go to sleep on the day that is conditional. So therefore it's Yifta to Rabbi Yehuda. So that would, in fact, be inconsistent with Rabbi Yehuda Shita. This would slug up Rabbi Yehuda Shita, who says you can't go to sleep on the first day, who wouldn't allow you to go to sleep on the first day, and therefore there would be no potential for there to be an Isser of Bal Yechal the next day. So once again, the Gemara answers very simply. Ki ketani enachrami, the case of our Mishnah is the inayim, that if you went to sleep, enachrami. Rabbi Yehuda Shita, of course, is if you came and you knocked on his door and said, I made this kind of neder that today's asur, if tomorrow's the condition, Rabbi Yehuda would tell you, okay, then you're not allowed to go to sleep today, because today's the Yisr day, we're very makbid. But the reality is, if I did go to sleep today, the reality is that tomorrow is a very good chance that it's going to create the Yisr of Bal Yechal. If I go to sleep, it's a big if. If I go, and that's what the case, that's the way Rabbi Yehuda is going to learn the case of the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah is that if I went to sleep today, which is the Yisr day, that there's a good chance that I'm going to be over, that I'm not going to be careful about this tomorrow, and therefore I'm going to be over the Isser Bal Yechal. So when the Mishnah says I'm going to be over Bal Yechal, it's talking about because I went to sleep today, and we're not confident that you're going to end up keeping being careful on the condition, which is exactly Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Now it comes out that the Mishnah, the way Rabbi Yehuda is learning the Mishnah, comes out exactly like Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. So far, that was the first teretz of the Gemara. The first teretz of the Gemara, in order to make it work according to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, we have to say that the case is that if he went to sleep, that is what the Mishnah is trying to say, that you could potentially have the Yisr Bal Yechal. Of course, if he didn't go to sleep, then there's no Yisr here whatsoever. Because if he didn't go to sleep, then I never was over the Yisr. I never fulfilled, or I never did the thing that my neder says I'm not allowed to do. Of course, it's not going to be an Yisr Bal Yechal. But if I went to sleep, and that's the way Rabbi Yehuda learns the Mishnah, Mamela, he holds that our Mishnah really is a proof to what he is saying. Even why? Again, because today is the Isser and tomorrow is the condition. So the Mishnah is that concerned that if I already slept today, which is the Isser day, that the conditional day tomorrow is going to end up being a problem, and therefore I'm going to be over the Isser, or potentially over the Isser of Bal Yechal. That's the first teretz of the Gemara. Ravina Omer, Ravina totally changes things around. Ravina Omer lo'olam kidik tani. Now this is a key word over here. It's the way we learn, this is the way the Ran is explains the Gemara. Ravina says, Kidiktani, that we, like we said originally, that you really are not allowed to go to sleep in the beginning, on the day that's Aser, because maybe you will be, right, actually no. Kidiktani, the way the Ran learns is that, how could I make a neder that I can't go to sleep? It's not something that is really chal in Hilchus Nedarim. Hilchus Nedarim, I need something tangible, I need a time. The whole case of the Mishnah is not really a case that the Neder should be chal. Comes along Ravina and says, yeah, but that's still the case of the Mishnah. Even though, again, our normal way of thinking would not make that case Aser, because it's not tangible and it doesn't have a time. Even so, La'olam Kediktani, we're going to say the Mishnah literally the way it's written, Umay Bal Yechal, and what do we mean by saying that there's an Isser Bal Yechal in the case of our Mishnah? He didn't do anything wrong, because that's not really a neder. The answer is Midrabanan. This is a very big chiddush. The way the Ran learns that the case is Enachanami is totally Usser Midrabanan, even though I didn't say it the way a neder is supposed to be said, there's still an Isser Midrabanan. So the Gemara says, Umayik Bal Yechal Midrabanan. Is there really such a concept as just creating an Isser Bal Yechal? Obviously, it's only a Bal Yechal Midrabanan, but that we're going to place an Isser Bal Yechal on something which is at most a Midrabanan, which is only a Midrabanan. The Gemara answers, in Vahatanya, this is one of the places, also Vahatanya. Over here is meant as a proof, not as a kasha. But Tanya, we have a brisa that proves that we do say Bal Yechal on Derabbanans, because it says like this: Devarim hamutarim va'achirim nogu behen iser. If let's say you're in a location where that there is a community that decided to be machmer on themselves not to do a certain thing, whatever it is, but midaraisa it's totally mutter, and they accepted by their minug not to do it. So, you're not allowed to tell them it's mutter. If they accept it upon themselves as a chumrah, maybe they should be aware that it's a chumrah, but in any event, as a chumrah, they decided that they are not going to do whatever this thing is. But even though midaraisa it's totally mutter, you have to go along with that and consider it asr, not mutter. Shenemar, because it says, so we have a very short Mishnah that even though something is only asr midarabanan, that's the way they're noyeg, and there's no Isser here whatsoever midaraisa, still the Isser of Bal Yechal Devaroi applies. Okay? So therefore that's Ravina's teretz, and that's a good teretz. That the Enachanami, the case of our Mishnah is, even though it really doesn't work on a Daraisa level, it's not a proper Neder Midaraisa, and has nothing to do with the Machlekes Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda now. It's just simply a case where a guy says a Neder, I'm not going to go to sleep. The answer is that if he goes to sleep, he's going to be over on a Derabonon of Bal Yechal. Okay, let's get back to the Machlekes, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Are there other Mishnayos that maybe prove this point? It's not. We learned in a Mishnah, is actually going to be later in the Masechta, Sha'at Nenes Li Ad Ha Pesach Intelchi De Beis Avich Ad Ha Chag. So the case is that he sets it up and he says, you are usur, let's say we're talking 2 months before Pesach. That's the case. So it's 2 months, like now it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, or Rosh Chodesh Adar, let's say. So, let's say it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So it's, he says, I am not allowed today. So again, this is exactly our case. Today is the usur day. Between now and Pesach, you are usur, but what's the condition? That you're not allowed to go back to your father's house between now and Sukkot, which is at a later date. Sukkot is going to happen after Pesach, because remember, the cases we're talking about, it's Shvat, it's 2 months before Pesach, and now he's making the Isser conditional on what happens all the way till Sukkot. Okay, so the halacha is, as the Mishnah continues, Holcha lifnei ha-Pesach, Asura b'hanasai ad ha-Pesach. So it says that if she went to her father's house before Pesach, then she is usur until Pesach. And so basically she can fulfill the condition, remember, because the condition was between now and Sukkot. So clearly if she went before Pesach, that's definitely fulfilling the condition. So then she's going to be usur on Pesach. Now, the Gemara already makes a diyuk and says, Holcha lifnei ha-Pesach asura. So only sounds like if she went before Pesach, that's usur. Lo yolcha loy. So it sounds like that if she didn't go before Pesach, it's going to be usur. Excuse me, it's going to be mutter. Now, why mutter, meaning it's going to be, remember, the Isser time only applies before Pesach. So we're saying if she has not gone to her father between now and Pesach, it's going to be mutter for her before Pesach. Now, we still do not know whether or not there's still another 6 months between Pesach and Sukkot where she could potentially go to her father. We don't know whether or not she's going to go to her father. And even so, we make it totally mutter for her to do whatever. The case is, again, the way the Ron explains the case was, that the husband says, if you're going to go to your father, I don't want you taking anything from me. I don't want you taking my food. I don't want you taking the items from me. Now, we don't know whether she's going to go to her father between Pesach and Sukkot. And even so, we say it's mutter for her to have Hana. Because we assume, so what do we see? We're assuming that she's not going to trigger the Isser. That we see that if she's going to take anything from her husband before Pesach, that means she's relying on the fact that she's not gonna go, even though we don't know what's gonna happen yet, but we're relying on the fact that she's not gonna go till Sukkot, which is the trigger event. So we see this is the opposite of Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, we can't rely on the fact that she's going to be makbid on the condition. Remember, that was Rabbi Yehuda's whole point, that people aren't careful about the condition. And here we are relying on the fact that it's mutter for her to pay before Pesach, in reliance on the fact that she's not going to go before Sukkot. So that goes against Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Abba says no. We actually agree that it's really usur before Pesach also. And even though the Mishnah specifically says that only if she goes before Pesach it's usur, what does the Mishnah mean? The way to read the Mishnah is as follows. Holcha lifnei ha-Pesach asura v'loika. If she actually traveled before Pesach, then we know for a fact that she was already created the Isser, and now if she takes anything between now and Pesach, it's for sure Isser, it's without a question, she gets Malkus. Because now she's violating the Isser, she's violating an Isser when the Isser was already triggered, the Isser was already in place, so she already gets Malkus. Loyolcha, but if she didn't go before Pesach, Asura Ba'almo. If she did not go, now we're talking about like this, if she did not go before Pesach, every day between now and Pesach, we don't know whether or not she is going to become usur. Because, right, that's the case. The case is she didn't go. So she didn't trigger anything yet. Now she might trigger in the future. She might trigger in the future. So therefore, midrabbanon, we're going, I don't know if it's midrabbanon, midaraisa could, well, if it's triggered, it's actually midaraisa. But the point is that it's going to be usur, but it's not going to get malchus, because at the time she is violating the isur, or at the time she's doing the act, I should say, we don't even know whether she's violating the isur, because we don't know whether or not she's going to travel. So since we don't know whether she's going to travel, so we can't give her malchus on that. So if it turns out retroactively that she was us, that she did go, so then it was taka usur. But the difference is that it's not going to get Malkus. So therefore, it's not to say that it's mutter. We originally thought that since we were focused on the before Pesach is usur, we inserted in our own mind that, oh, if she didn't go, it's mutter. that's not really what the Mishnah meant to say. Of course it's still Aser, because if you trigger, you trigger. If you create the Iser, you created the Iser. Of course it's going to be Aser. But the difference is that you can't give Malkus for that. That's the point. The Mishnah is only focused on the Malkus aspect of it, of whether or not you'll get Malkus. But of course, if it ends up being that the condition is fulfilled, that you are Aser, and there's no question that's going to be Aser. You're just not going to get Malkus. Okay, very simple answer to the Teretz. Again, it's complicated to keep track of what's what, but it's a very simple answer to the Kasha. However, Emo Seifa. That would work if we didn't have the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah says, Achara Pesach b'bal yechal devoroi. If she travels after Pesach, it does create the Baal Yechal. However, but once again, now we're going back into the concept, Rabbi Yehuda's concept. That if, remember, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it is Aser before Pesach because maybe you'll trigger it later. So that means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he will not allow you to be, in this case, to be the wife to be with the husband. He won't allow that to happen. So if he doesn't allow that to happen, what difference does it make after Pesach? There were never an Isser here in the first place. So once again, why would the Mishnah say that there is an absolute Isser of Baal Yechal, or potential Isser for Baal Yechal, if she goes after Pesach? What's the problem? She never would have done the thing that was also, that was prohibited before Pesach. Again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, we would never have allowed her to do that thing, to take the Hanah before Pesach. El Pshita des Hani. So it must be that the reason why there's an Issa Balichal must be that she did violate the Issa, that she did take the Hanah. So Alma is Hani. So we see that people do have Hanah even when they're not allowed to, based on a condition, and in reliance on the fact that I'm not going to trigger the condition. The Tiyufta de Rabbi Yehuda. Once again, same kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, we would never have allowed her to be over the Isser, to do the thing that was Isser. So the Gemara once again gives the same teres as we saw before. Ki katani, di'i is hani, hareza b'bari chal devari. You're right. The case of the Mishnah once again is saying that if she ended up taking the Hanah, which would be the technical Isser. The Isser, remember, the case was the husband said, you're not allowed to have Hanah. So that would be the technical Isser. So if she did that, then she is going to have, now that she did the Isser, if she travels, it will create the Isser of Baal Yechal Devar. So that's the case of our Mishnah. The Mishnah is trying to say that if she did have Hanah, even though the trigger happens later, there's still going to be an Isser of Baal Yechal. That is the case in the Mishnah. Now, one thing that is very important for me to point out, the Ran brings a very interesting Machlokes Rishonim about who is over. When we talk about Malkus, so this is really going on the case of Amud Aleph, when we say that if she does it, and if she goes before Pesach, she gets Malkus. That's already the Ran Shita. It says, if she goes before Pesach, then it's Aser, and we interpret the word Aser to mean Aser and get Malkus. So the question is, who gets Malkus? Who is the one who gets Malkus for now violating the Isser? So the Ran says, she's the one who gets Malkus, because she's the one that took the Hanah and she wasn't allowed to, and then she made the condition, and then she went to her father's house, and then, so there is a restriction on her. So if she goes ahead and takes the Hanah, she should get Malkus. However, interestingly, the Ran brings the Rambam. It's right in the Ran over here, on Amud Aleph. The Ran brings the Rambam. It's about 5-6 lines before the lines get to the last wide lines. So he says the Rambam says that he gets Malkus. This is very interesting, definitely a different way of looking at things. That he gets Malkus. Why? Because he's the one that created the Isser and created the potential for someone to be over. Meaning, how do I create, I mean, this is a problem in general. How do I create, I know that people have asked this before, how do I create an Isser on someone else? How do I make it that he's over an Isser? Remember, the whole concept of a neder is I'm creating something that's really mutter, I'm creating something out of nothing. It really should be mutter. So, it's one thing you want to say on yourself that you're not going to do it, and then you're not going to keep your word, so you're going to get Malkus. You're over on the Isser of Baal Yechal, because you're the one who created the Isser. But how do I create an Isser Baal Yechal on somebody else? So that's why the Rambam holds that Anach Hanami, that if he sets her up to, and he gives her the Hanah, that she's not allowed to have, and now it turns out that she really was prohibited, so he's the one, because he set it up in a way that she was over the Isser, because he's the only one that said Baal Yechal. That's the way the Rambam learns. The Ran does not agree with the Rambam, just for the record. The Ran does not agree, and he says, it's not the problem. That's not true. There's plenty of times where we can create an Isser, where the Isser then applies to somebody else. The Baal Yachal Devar, and the Ran brings Rayas to this from the other Gemaras, but there are other places where the Baal Yachal is not just on the words, that, just because I said the words, I created the neder, doesn't mean the words literally Baal Yachal, that my words aren't allowed to become chulin. That's the Isser Baal Yachal, that my words are not allowed to become chulin. They're not allowed to become nothing. It doesn't mean my words, because I said it. It means the concept. Now that I created the Isser, so then anybody who does the Isser is going to be over in the Baal Yachal. I created the Isser and the Isser comes with, now there are words attached to it. They're not my words anymore. Now it's the Isser. The Isser is on the object. That object is Isser. Anybody who takes those words, anybody who violates the Isser is going to be over the Isser of Baal Yachal. So this is the Machlekes Rishonim. As I said, clearly the Rambam and the Ran argue on this point. Now the Gemara continues. Let's get back to, so far we attempted at least two times to ask a question on Rabbi Yehuda, because it seems to say by the fact that the Mishnah says there is an Isser Baal Yachal that will allow the person to, let's use our example, to sleep on the day it's Usser, in reliance on the fact that the person won't do the trigger, won't do the condition. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't rely on that. So that seemed to be the kasha. In each case, we're saying, Enechanami, the Isser is only if you slept today. Of course, we would prefer you didn't. We would tell you not to. But if you did, then by triggering the Isser, you're going to be over the Isser Baal Yachal. Now, we have another case in the Mishnah. We have a third case. Again, now we're on the top of the second line on Tesvav and Veis. Tanam, we learned in the Mishnah. Okay, once again, this is also later in the Masechta on Daphne and Zion, same Mishnah as before. Sha'at nenes li ad hachag. So now we're saying now the Isser Hana is extending for a longer period of time. So here it sounds more like the condition is coming first and then the Isser is coming later. So you're going to be Usser all the way through Sukkot. If you travel, which is the condition, you travel to your father until Pesach. So again, seems like a very straightforward case. And the Mishnah concludes, "Holchol lifnei Pesach asura bahanosoi ad hachag." It says, "If she went before Pesach, well, she literally triggered the condition. So then she's going to be asur ad hachag." So far, there's no chiddush, so to speak, in that line. However, umutaras leilach achar haPesach. And now she can continue to go. This is the way the Ran learns. She can continue to go after Pesach. She can continue to go. Okay. Now, the way the Ran is learning this is an interesting point. That even though, remember, the Isser applies all the way to Sukkot. That was what he said. I'm not going to have anything to do with you all the way through Sukkot, which is another 6 months. But if she's already triggered the Isser before Pesach, she can continue to go till Sukkot also. And the Ran is troubled by this. So the Ran says the Chiddush over here is that we're going to allow her to travel, which is the trigger, even though she's Usser during that time. Because you might think to yourself, oh, it's after Pesach, it's not a problem anymore. If I'm allowing her to travel, must be that I'm not worried about them having anah from each other. So, by the fact that the Mishnah says, no, it's okay, you could go after Pesach, it's totally Usser, and it's fine, you can continue to go, means we're not concerned that the person is going to be over the Isser of Adachag. Okay? So, but the Gemara then is Medayik in the Gemara, in the case. Holcha Asura, loy holcha loy. Now, here, this is a little tricky. It's interesting that the Ran doesn't say this, it's the Rashi, the Mefarish on the Rashi side that explains what the Gemara's Kasha over here is. He says, Holcha Asura, loy holcha loy. If she Taka went before Pesach, then of course she's Asur. I get that. That makes a lot of sense. But if she didn't go before Pesach, here's the point. If she had not yet traveled before Pesach, it's mutter. What do we mean by, again, when the Gemara says if it's not Usser, we interpret that to mean that it's mutter. If it's not Usser, I mean, that makes sense. If it's not Usser, it's mutter. But what does that mean that it's mutter? That means, let's say, for example, today's Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Today's Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So we're saying, fine. So it's mutter for them to be together. However, she has not yet concluded the conditional period of time. It's still possible that she can travel between now and Pesach. And even so, it's going to be mutter. Now remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a problem. Because Rabbi Yehuda says you could never do the thing that is actually usur in reliance that I'm not going to fulfill the condition. So here, the diuk that the Gemara is making is, no, only if she actually went before Pesach it's usur, but if she didn't yet go, and even though there's still more time that it's possible for her to go, it's not usur. Now why is it not usur? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it should be usur, because today is the violation day. Today, Erev Pesach, or till Pesach, it's still potentially possible that it's going to become usur. It's possible that it's going to become usur. And we're saying, no, don't worry, it's mutter. It's because she hasn't gone yet, so it's going to be mutter today, even though today is an usur day. So we see, not like Rabbi Yehuda that says, we're not worried that you're going to trigger the usur. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rava, no. Again, and this is all based on the fact that we're being medayik, that it's only when she actually went that it's usur, but if she didn't go, it's going to be mutter. So if that's the diik, so amarova, that's what creates the kasha. So he says, nahu adin da'afidu loy halcha asura. No. Like Rabbi Yehuda Shita, we can answer Rabbi Yehuda Shita and say, even if she has not yet gone, it's still going to be usur until Pesach, whether or not she's gone. Okay, you understand that this is exactly Rabbi Yehuda's case, because the trigger period still is available. It's still possible that today's usur, even though we don't know yet whether it's going to be usur or not, it's still going to be usur. However, once again, holcha asura v'loika, and this is very simple. Now, if she went, it created the usur, and the usur is in effect. And if she violates that usur, of course, she's going to get malchus. Loy holcha asura ba'alma, but if she has not yet gone, so of course, Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that we're going to prevent her from doing it. There is an isser in play here, because today is the isser day. Even if she hasn't yet fulfilled, we don't know whether or not the condition is going to be triggered or not. We don't know. Still, it's going to be isser, because it might. But you're not going to get malchus for that. Once again, it's asra asafik, we don't know. But that's again the focus of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's focus is, if you really did everything usur, you're going to get malchus. That's the focus of the Mishnah. Not to say that if you didn't do anything, if we don't know it's mutter, I'm not saying that if we don't know it's mutter, if we don't know it's still usur, but you're just not going to get malchus. Now the Gemara asks one more kasha. Meisvei, I'll ask you a kasha. Kikarzu alai hayoim im elech lamakim pleini lamachor. Once again, this is again similar type of case that we're talking about. I'm not going to eat this bread. This bread is usur to me today. If I go tomorrow, tomorrow again is the if. The if case is tomorrow. Right, if I go tomorrow. Ochal, if I did end up eating it today, harezeh bebal yelech. It's then, but if I did eat it, so then I'm definitely usur to go tomorrow, which would be contrary to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, because I'm not allowed to eat it. So why are we telling you if you ate it, that it's going to be usur? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to eat it. To which the Gemara responds very simply, Anachanami, mi katani oichel, it doesn't say I am allowed to eat it, achal katani, it says I did eat it. And which again is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Of course, if you ask me, can I eat it or not, I will tell you no. But if I did eat it, of course I can't go tomorrow, because then tomorrow is going to trigger the isser. Dechi achal, Anachanami, that means that if I did eat it, what we're saying is, I shouldn't. If you ask me, I shouldn't do it. But if I eat it, I can't go. I can't go. Then the Gemara asks the same similar type of kasha. Halach hareza b'bal yechal devaray. Once again, it says, if I went, then I am over the isur b'bal yechal devaray. Now, mahalech loy, but it says that I can't go. Why can't I go? So this is a funny kasha also. The way the Gemara is asking, you have to insert a lot of information over here to understand the kasha. The kasha is, mahalach loy, I'm not allowed to go. But, if I really hold like Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that says that I'm not allowed to do the isra on the day it's also. Remember, the condition's gonna happen later. The condition's gonna happen tomorrow. But if I hold like Rabbi Yehuda that I'm not allowed to do the thing that's also today because of the potential tomorrow, so then I should always, according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, I should always be allowed to do the condition. Because I would never have done the thing that was usur in the first place, that I was making usur, based on the condition. So then, why should going tomorrow ever be usur? Because the way I should have set it up is that I never ate the piece of bread. I can't eat today if I'm gonna travel tomorrow. Fine. So since I know I'm never going to eat the bread today, because according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, it's never mutter to eat the bread today, so then I should totally be mutter to go tomorrow. Why does the Mishnah say that I'm not allowed to go tomorrow? The Kasha of Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the Kasha on Rabbi Yehuda Shita that says that it's going to be. So it's mutter for that it, according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. It should be mutter to go tomorrow because I never would have eaten the bread. So once again, the Gemara gives a similar teretz. Amalach Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would answer, "Hu adin the listening mahalich." Rabbi Yehuda Shita is. Oh. Okay, fine, no problem. Hu adin the listening mahalich. It really should have said that I could go tomorrow. I could have said I could go tomorrow because, remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, I would never eat the bread in the first place. However, I did it. Tani Reisha Ochal, since the case of the Reisha is, if I ate it, Deloy Misni Le Oichol, and because we don't want to say the word Oichol because we don't, remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, we don't actually let you eat it. It's only if you ate it. Tani Seifa Holach. And so the Seifa also says that I went. But it doesn't mean that I necessarily should go. It doesn't mean that I will tell you to go. It's all dependent on, meaning you can't, the point that the Gemara is trying to make is that you can't make a diik in the way the Seifa of the Mishnah is phrased and then say that it's meant to teach us a chiddush that you are allowed, that you're not allowed to go. We use that phrase only in respect to the case. Once I set up the case, since the Reisha case is that I did eat it, even though I shouldn't have, but I did. I did eat the bread. So now, Anachanan, going tomorrow is going to be also. So we say, Allah, that he went. But it's not to say that it's not, but really, if everything was done the way it should have been done, it should be, Mahalach, that I should be totally mutter, it should be totally mutter for me to go. But again, the point is that you can't make a diik from the Loshen, because the Reisha case was the case that's more important. So, now, the Ran brings Lamaskana, Lahalocha. The Ran does say that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda Shita, even though the Gemara was so busy trying to slug him up. There's two different approaches in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, if the Gemara is spending so much time trying to prove you wrong, it's because the Gemara doesn't like it. And then there's the other philosophy in the Rishonim that says, no, if the Gemara is spending so much time figuring out, focusing on that Shita, it means that we do hold to that Shita, and we're trying to explain that Shita, how it works according to all the Mishnayos. So, the Ran takes the approach that Lahalocha, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that, so what does that mean for us as a practical matter? That means if I make something usur on condition that I'm not allowed to do the thing usur, because I cannot rely on the fact that I'll be careful about not triggering the condition. That's the conclusion, not like Rav Nachman. Which, by the way, also is a very big kiddush, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda over Rav Nachman, because generally speaking, we paskin like Rav Nachman. So the Ran here is really, really a very big kiddush. To say that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and again he's relying on the fact that the Gemara spends so much time proving or disproving Rabbi Yehuda Shita, it must be that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and we're trying to explain how Rabbi Yehuda fits according to all the Mishnayos. That's how the Ran learns the halacha. One more piece in the Gemara to finish off the last line of the Mishnah. So it says, so that's the quote from our Mishnah. It says, if a person says that, if a husband says to his wife, I am not going to, I'm making tashmish usur, that of course, that means the relationship between the husband and wife, that's what I'm putting the neder on. So then there is an isur b'alichal devar, meaning that it's usur for him to, that there is an isur b'alichal, and he's going to have to be with his wife. So, the Gemara's question is, the Gemara says, "V'hamishtabed lo midaraisa." How could he have made this neder in the first place? You're not allowed to make a neder directly opposed to what the Torah says. The Torah says you have to do something. I can't make a neder to do the opposite of what the Torah says. And the neder should not be chal. So why is there an isur b'alichal? How do I know there's a chiyuv, an obligation to a husband to be with his wife? Okay, this is a pasuk. We saw this in Ksubas. She'eira ksusa ve'ainosa lo yigareya. That a husband is not allowed to diminish or take away from his wife the fact that he has to support her with clothing, with food, with clothing, And time, aina is time. Aina, we translate time, not only time in general, but specifically to spend time with her tashmish. That's how the Gemara learns. If you remember the Gemara in Ksubas, this is a machlekas had a darshan this pasuk, but this is the general way we translate this pasuk. So she'era again means to room and board. Ksusa is clothing. Ainasa is tashmish. In any event, the point is that the Torah says that a husband has an absolute obligation to do this. So how could he have made this neder in the first place? And if he can't make the neder, why is there an issur b'ayichal? So the Gemara answers, "Ba'omer hanos tashmishach alai." So what he means to say is not that I am prohibiting the act of tashmish because I have an obligation. I can't prohibit the act. What I'm saying is that I'm putting an issur hanah. I'm putting an issur on the hanah, the outcome of the tashmish. And that's the thing that I am prohibiting upon myself, which is not, as we would say in phrase in English, is not diametrically opposed to what the Torah said. I'm still going to do what the Torah says. I'm still going to have tashmish, just not going to have the hanok. So the Gemara says, v'haloi ka nichole b'tashmish. Sorry, this is a statement. V'haloi ka nichole b'tashmish. But he's not going to be happy with the tashmish. And therefore, so what's going to happen is like this. What's going to happen is he has a chiv to do, tashmish. He made a neder, I'm not going to have the hana. So he's trying not to have the hana. But in reality, he is going to have the hana. So if the reality is he is going to have the hana, that's what the Mishnah is saying, that you're going to be over the yisr of Bal Yachal. And so, that's why our Mishnah, this is a statement to explain the words of the Mishnah, why the Mishnah concludes there is an Isser Ba'yachal. Why is that? And why is this true? The Omer of Kahana, Tashmishi Alayich, this is talking about the other way around. This, Rav Kahana is talking about in the context where the wife says to the husband, I'm Usser to do Tashmish to you. So the halacha is, Koyfen Oysoy, Misham Shasoy. That the husband can force her and says, I don't care that you made a promise or an edda that you're not. Now, she doesn't have a shibud deraisa. She has a shibud derabonon. The rabbonon imposed on the wife that she also has to spend time with the husband. So chiyuv derabonon. However, the rabbonon, it's one of those chiyuvim midrabbonon where you cannot break. You can't just say, it's a midrabbonon, I'm gonna find a loophole. No. It's a kaifin aysa misham shasla. She still has to be with him. Why? The shibud mishavid lay. Because she is meshubed, she has an obligation to be with him. Hanos tashmish echalai. So if she says, I'm not going to have tashmish, I'm not going to do the act, we say, sorry, that's not an option. You have to do the act. However, hanos tashmish echalai, if she says, I don't want to have any hano, osir, then in that case, the husband's actually not going to allow to be with her. Why? Because we're not going to make her eat something that's usher for her to eat. Now in this case, not talking about eating literally, but we're not going to force a person to do something which is prohibited to them. So that's what's going on over here, where we say, so we see that there is a concept of ushering the hano. Even, so we, right, the same way in the context of the wife, when the wife says, I will not do the act, the answer is too bad. You have no right to withhold the act. She could make she could make a promise or a neder or whatever she's doing over here. She could prohibit herself from having hana. But since we know the reality, and that's her prerogative. Her prerogative is to decide whether or not she wants to have hana. But the problem is, the reality is that a person does have hana. So once the problem is that she will have hana, so it's going to be also for the husband to do the tashmish, because he's going to end up giving her hana, he's going to end up giving her something that she prohibited on herself. But the point is, you could, so to speak, there is a loophole over here by saying that it's the hana that I'm prohibiting. And the same thing, just to finish with the chat in our Mishnah, is that the case of our Mishnah. If our Mishnah says it's an Isser Ba'yachal, it's not talking about where the husband says, I am not going to do the act of Tashmish. The Isser of Ba'yachal is talking about where he says, I'm not going to have the hana from Tashmish. Because again, I can't say I'm not going to do Tashmish because the Torah says you have to. So you don't have a choice. You can't make an eder on that. But I could say I'm not going to have the hana from the Tashmish. But the reality is that if you're going to do the act, then you're going to have the hana. If you're going to have the hana, you're going to be over the Isser Ba'yachal. So that's why our Mishnah says that if a person makes this kind of neder, they are going to be over the Isser Ba'yachal. Because the reality is they're going to follow through. They're going to have the hana. They're going to be over the Isser of Ba'yachal. So we'll stop here and we'll pick up with this Mishnah Mirtz Hashem next time.